And welcome to In the Moment. I'm Stephanie Rissler. Government transparency. Democrats are talking higher taxes, and former Senator Tom Daschle has taken an advisory position with a cannabis investment company. These are just a few of the topics we'll discuss with the Dakota Political Junkies on today's program. We're joined by Roger Whittle, managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Welcome, Roger.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Also here from the Sioux Falls Argus Leader, we have investigative reporter Jonathan Ellis. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hey, thanks for having me, Stephanie.
I'm used to seeing you on TV, so this will be fun. We'll talk radio. Jonathan, I'm going to start with you. Last week, the mayor of Sioux Falls, Paul Tenhaken, he did what few South Dakota politicians have done. He released some records that he really did not have to do. What can you tell us about these letters and why the mayor did what he did?
Well, we haven't had discussions with the mayor about why his administration decided to release these letters, but in South Dakota law, there is a provision that exempts public officials from having to release correspondence. And typically, public officials will use that exemption in law to deny records requests. And just to point out, that's an exemption that's almost unheard of in any other state. So they did release some letters that regarding sort of the city's position on a very large development that is in, it seems to be in very deep trouble here. I think from the city's perspective, the officials are very reluctant to actually speak to the press, just because there's the very real possibility that this could spill into litigation. But to their credit, they did release documents which sort of outline, you know, the city's position in this development, in which they've terminated a development agreement with a private party. And there's, you know, there's quite a bit of public money at stake in this project. So they you know, it is very unusual, I think, and Roger would probably agree, that officials release something that they otherwise don't have to release under state law.
Interesting. So as we wait to see how this all plays out, what does this decision mean for transparency in government?
Well, I would like to think that it's a positive, but I, you know, this is probably, is it just a one off or not? I mean, you know, it is this is a moment in which we have seen a little more transparency than what we're used to, and just by way, I'll give you an example. I'm not going to give anything away here by sharing this, but we are conducting an ongoing story, investigative story right now, where again we obtained correspondence regarding some institutions in South Dakota, but we had to go outside of the state and use another state's open record laws in order to get that correspondence, because it otherwise would not be obtainable here. And so the stories that we'll probably have ready this summer, but I don't think that public officials, unless this exemption is actually removed from state law, and it's been in there for about 10 years, unless it's actually removed along with some other exemptions, I can't imagine that public officials are certainly going to be, you know, more transparent.
Okay. All right, Roger. I want to switch gears here and talk about Senator Tom Daschle, former U.S. Senator. He's taken an advisory position at a cannabis investment company, and he's calling for loosening the restrictions on pot, on marijuana. What do you know about this? Anything yet?
Just what I've heard on the news. I think it's very interesting, though. I know as more and more states either legalize it or consider legalizing it, there are a lot of hoops to jump through for the policymakers. And I think to have a former speaker of the House, leader of the Congress, there on your side, trying to help you navigate these laws and things, I think it's a good idea for the cannabis companies.
So I'll bounce back to you, Jonathan. Do you think we'll see any movement in some of our other states, maybe even in South Dakota, in terms of loosening some of these laws, approving some laws?
I laugh, Stephanie.
I put you on the spot, didn't I?
Well, I mean, I think eventually I would hope so at some point. But I mean, we had a debate, a big debate in the legislature, as you know, Stephanie and Roger, over hemp. You know, something that's not even it's a cannabis related plant, but it's not something, you know, marijuana. It's not marijuana, and so, you know, I think, to me, I mean, there's been a lot of hypocrisy regarding marijuana's illegal status. I think it's been built largely on myths, fables about marijuana. And I do think that there are some legitimate medicinal uses for marijuana, and frankly, recreational uses for marijuana. So, do I see that changing in South Dakota anytime soon? Probably not.
Probably not. So, Roger, I'm going to switch gears and talk about our current senator, Senator Mike Rounds. I was looking through his weekly column, and he addressed trade wars with China, saying, for the past 2 years, President Trump and members of his administration have been working on a trade deal with China that will level the playing field and stop their trade cheating once and for all. China has been an unfair trading partner for decades. Yet many ag organizations, now this is an unquote here, many ag organizations across the state have stepped up and they've asked for some of this trade negotiations to stop, to come to an end. As we know, the U.S. will see some additional tariffs placed on goods starting June 1st. You know, as I read this from Mike Rounds and I see where our farmers are right now with the weather and planting, do you foresee more ag organizations stepping up and speaking out, whether for or against some of these China trade wars?
Yeah, that's a good question. His column was interesting in that he acknowledged that the current situation with the tariffs and President Trump's negotiations is hurting our farmers. Commodity prices are down; they're losing huge markets for their stuff. But he made it a point to say that the farmers are still solidly behind the president in his efforts to fix the trade problem with China. So, you know, it's an interesting ongoing thing. How much pain are the farmers willing to take to stand behind the president in these efforts? I know there's talk of giving them aid to get them through this, but, you know, farmers don't necessarily like to receive aid like that. They want to make a profit off their work, which they have been doing. And nowadays, you know, it's not looking good for them. So it'll be interesting. I wish I knew what was going to happen. I don't, but it'll certainly be interesting to follow this and find out at what point the farmers are going to decide that the path we're on is the wrong one, or maybe they'll decide it's the right one.
Yeah, off path a little bit, but still talking about the farmers, Roger. Earlier in the first hour, we talked about planting and where we're seeing things on a statewide basis. You up around the Watertown area, what does planting season look like for those in the ag industry where you are?
Oh, it's bone dry up here, and all the farmers are doing great. No, that is not true. In fact, I believe it's raining out right now. No. Planting is way behind normal. Everything is wet up here. I saw some photos out of Lake Ponset down by Arlington yesterday that looked like it was the shores of Lake Superior was so bad. I think it's going to be a problem. You drive around in the country and there's still fields underwater, and it's going to be a while before we get things back on track up here.
Yeah. Jonathan, before we move on, any thoughts on the trade wars and Senator Rounds' weekly column?
Well, I tweeted this out recently that I would not want to be necessarily at this point. I would not want to be a Republican running in farm state, and I just think that there. I sense that there's a lot of angst with it. You know, I mean, sure, there's some farmers and they're standing by the president, but I mean, you know, they don't want to be the ones who are sort of the bargaining chip in all of this, or you know, the ones taking the hit. And you know, I just kind of look at historically, you know, when in situations in farm country, when there have been, you know, problems, you look at, for example, I think North Dakota as well, there was, you know, we were looking at a farm crisis at the time, and I don't know that we've reached crisis yet here, but, you know, this is a time where I would not, again, I would not, you'd have to, you're going to have to do a lot more talking about these kinds of things if you're running for office as a Republican in, next year. And I'm sure a lot of them hope that this is resolved sooner than later.
Roger, I want to talk about higher taxes. On May 17th, I received some information that we are hearing the South Dakota Democrats are publicly renewing a push for new and higher taxes on South Dakota citizens in the form of income taxes. Have you heard this? Do you know anything?
Very little. I mean, I've heard it on the news, and it seems like every year, every election year, we hear about this. But I, you know, I guarantee you, South Dakota is not going to have an income tax anytime soon. So, you know, I think at this point it's all talk.
Jonathan, are you hearing anything?
Again, this is, I'm going to read you a lead to a story. Representatives of education, agriculture, and labor groups say they'll work to put an income tax initiative on the 1992 ballot. So it's something we hear a lot, and these are groups of there's some Democratic activists. This is a lead to a story that appeared in the Argus Leader in 1991. I mean, this has been a long-standing goal of Democrats. They argue that the state's current taxation is unfair and regressive because it's based on sales tax, and that includes sales tax on food. So I think that this is, I'm not surprised that this is something that they would push for. I mean, historically, this is something that they wanted.
Okay. All right. Speaking of the Democrats, looking at some of the political blogs, I came across some information that the Democrat Party's latest FEC report says that as outgoing chairman Ann Tornberg hands the reins over to incoming chairman Paula Hawks, the South Dakota Democrats' finances are in some dire straits. Now, I will tell you, I talked with Aaron Mattson, the communications director for the Democratic Party, just this morning, who indicated that is not true. Any debt that was incurred has been paid and is paid off, and they are not in dire straits. I'm just curious, Roger, I'll start with you, and Jonathan, follow up. Is this a story here worth discussing? Have you heard any of this?
I have. In fact, I also talked to Aaron this morning, and for transparency and full disclosure, Aaron was a former reporter here at the Public Opinion a few years ago. So, and I've been a friend of his for years. But he said this all came from an audit that the FEC did that went back to 2016. And there were debts at that time that were paid off in 2016, but there was an FEC deadline that was missed or something. But so the FEC listed that as an unpaid debt when in fact it was paid. And Aaron also said that the FEC will be presenting an amended report very soon that will show that the Democratic Party, that these debts were old and have been paid off. And he also said he expects an apology from the a retraction from the Republican Party once that new report is up.
Very good. So, yeah. Jonathan, I'm going to move on, and I'm going to come to you. Sioux Falls, seeing some voting this week, including school board members. What's the status of that election?
Well, we have the incumbent, Carly Ryder, won last night. And then on Ann Baker, who's been well-known in town, she also won the two seats. They each, amazingly enough, received 2,854 votes. So they will be on the school board again. They defeated Sarah Anderson and Laura Hubble. Sarah Anderson, kind of a newcomer to politics. Laura Hubble, not so much of a newcomer to politics. Mm-hmm. In fact, probably pretty well-known to most people. Not only in Sioux Falls, but around the state, as she's been a statewide candidate as well. She was unable to parlay that political experience into a school board seat. So now, moving forward, we'll see what Laura Hubble is going to be up to. She's always been very politically active among on the social conservative scene.
Right, being a member of the South Dakota legislature and running for some different offices. I know she received a little bit of negative attention. One of those making a comment concerns that the school board was considering a three-day school week, which some say that actually never happened. Do you think some of that negative publicity maybe played a role in that defeat, or those that made it very well known, and that's the direction voters wanted to go?
I do think, I mean, there were some groups that came out against her, and there was quite a bit of, I would say, Facebook, social media chatter about maybe some of the claims she's made in the past about Islam and some other things. So I think that there was a concerted effort among some groups to oppose her, and I think that ended up probably costing her a number of votes.
All right. Roger, I'm going to come back to you. We were talking about the weather and our farmers and ranchers that are struggling. There's also talks that this weather pattern, this weather cycle is going to be impacting the state on many different levels, whether it's tourism and flooding, construction efforts. What are you hearing?
Well, I know up here in this part of the state, it probably is already having an effect. Last weekend was our free fishing and camping weekend, and it was just absolutely miserable all weekend. Not a good time to be in the great outdoors. And you look at what's happening down at Lake Ponset with the flooding they're having. I mean, that's a huge draw for fishermen around the northeast part of the state. And the waves are so big, fishing is not possible there. So they're calling for an entire summer of below average temperatures and higher than average precipitation. So, it would be easy to say that's going to have some kind of an effect on the tourism of the state. And I know the snow that the Black Hills is having right now, Mount Rushmore lost power this week and had to close down. So I think we're already seeing an effect on tourism. How much that will linger through the summer, I think nobody knows really.
Yeah, Jonathan, same question. Lots of folks wanting to head to South Dakota, specifically Sioux Falls, for a lot of the fun events. What are you hearing in terms of the impact the weather could have on everything from flooding in your area to events to construction?
Yeah, I mean the grass will be green. At least they'll have that. But I the construction season is already kind of off to a slow start. And last year, they really struggled. Some construction projects in town really struggled because it was wet last year as well. So, I think tourism is going to be something to look out for. I mean, we're kind of at the precipice now of that start of that season. But I also, going back to the agriculture, I mean, our ag and tourism, two critical industries for the state. And, I was hearing about farmer yesterday, they're getting to the point now where they may not be able to get crops in, or a corn crop. I mean, they're getting kind of the end of the deadline of being able to actually plant. So if you don't get a crop in, I mean, what does that mean? So we are, the next couple of weeks are going to be pretty critical times for the state in both those industries, I would say.
Yeah, it's raining here in Vermilion. What's it like in Sioux Falls right now?
It is raining.
Oh, goodness. Well,
yeah.
Oh, well, let's hope that sun comes out soon. Jonathan Ellis from the Sioux Falls Argus Leader and Roger Whittle, the managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Thank you both for being with us.
My pleasure.